I heard over and over again, oh, I was so into cycling and then I had a kid and I stopped. And you don't have to stop when you have a family, but you do have to figure out what works for your new setup.
All bikes are good bikes as long as they're safe. But I do find that kids most of the time have more fun and are able to have more fun quicker without training wheels.
I don't want people to get stuck on I'm doing it wrong or right. Now I'm choosing the slow option. What I want you to do is have fun with your kid on a bike.
Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides are celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a radically inclusive bike community. So join your hosts. I'm Ellen.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see.
Come along for the ride.
Marley, did you just put food in your mouth again right as I hit record?
Just a crumb of my handsome hunk.
I already forgot that's what they were called.
I made you blush.
Did you? Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
I think it's partially blush, but it's partially I've been staring at my window for 30 minutes at this point. And I've discovered I'm on a skincare routine journey. Because my face is real red, as anybody who watches the podcast, which you can do on YouTube and Spotify. Wink, wink. But my cheeks have always been red. And I've noticed because I've gotten better at wearing sunscreen every day. And if I don't wear sunscreen, I think that is actually the key.
Yeah, sunscreen's important.
And I forgot today. So as much as I do for sure blush at a reference to what was it?
A handsome hunk.
Handsome hunk.
Handsome hunk.
I am not only blushing at that, but also Russians do not blush. We don't do this. Never in my life have I blushed. In a non sequitur twist, we're going to talk about family cycling. So we should probably not be talking about handsome hunks and chewing on them. We could. I mean, I suppose that's how
family's got to get made somehow.
Family can look like anything, but there is a typical way you make them.
Through love. Love is how you make families. Love.
That's love. Scary. There are many ways to be a family.
Yes.
I run Casey Family Bike Ride, as I think a lot of podcast listeners probably know. But that is one of the things I say on my FAQs. It's just like, I am not here to police how you family. Like, come here as you are, as whoever your family is. If it's just you on a bike, like, there's no requirement to come on this ride. There's chosen family. There's your real family. We can maybe say this is more about cycling with young people in your life.
Kind of the different ways that can look and how you can make that happen. And maybe some tools and tricks that Ellen and I have learned along the way.
Yeah.
Can we start with why training wheels are a bad idea?
Ooh, that is a good fight me on it situation.
Yeah.
I do not think that training wheels are a bad idea. So go on. Why don't you present your argument and then I can counter?
Sounds good. I love this.
Okay.
Okay. If you have a small child in your life, I would strongly encourage you to introduce cycling to them without the use of training wheels. I think training wheels provide, they can be a fine support, but from what I've observed with lots of children is they don't necessarily teach the skills that progress to successful independent riding. And what I mean by that is, so the training wheels, typically the kids don't learn balance. They're relying on these training wheels for forward momentum, and they're focused on pedaling and the awkwardness and the balance. And it doesn't really replicate what riding a bike is actually like. So you might be like, okay, well, if I'm not doing training wheels, how the heck do I teach my kid to ride a bike? And that's where a balance bike comes in. And so we often see these with really, really young kids. You know, you can get them on there as soon as they're walking, you know, 1-2 years old. And it's basically, it's a bike that doesn't have pedals, often a Strider bike or other brands. And basically the kids just push with their feet. And really quickly, they tend to pick up the balance. They can lift their feet up and just be zooming and scooting around all over the place. And then when they're ready, it's pretty easy to add the cranks and the pedals back on, depending on the bike model, of course, but to transition into pedaling and pedaling independently. The other reason I really like the Strider bikes is even for kids who are a little bit older, you know, 6, 7, 8, who weren't taught to ride a bike as younger kids, they can still keep up with the other kids on bikes without feeling like a baby or feeling like they have to use these training wheels. Because if you've seen kids on bikes with training wheels, they're slow, they're clunky, like it's just not intuitive and the kids are often struggling. Whereas with the balance bikes, they can just zoom around and when they're ready, put the pedals on. So yeah, I just think it's a more natural transition to riding a traditional bike.
And I agree with everything you just said. For the record, I am as far as like what I did in my actual life, my kid started on a stride bike. It is amazing how fast they figure out balance and how fast he started picking his feet up and then turning. Like he was brainwashed, A, but B, like.
How was he brainwashed?
Because I was like, you're going to ride a bike. Oh, okay, he doesn't know life without bikes being a main form of transportation. But he still like is just a kid. Like he could have decided, no, I'm not going to do this, but he didn't. Like kids love bikes. First of all, I dare you to find a kid who sees a bike and doesn't try to ride it.
Yeah.
But, so all of that to say, I agree with you. My hang up on this is I want kids to ride a bike they will ride. There have been many kids in my life who will not approach that bike if training wheels are not attached, and they still will learn to ride a bike with training wheels. It might take longer. And this is where I have to look at the research. Some research did just come out within the last year that like compared the two. And there is a quicker uptake on the stride bike than with training wheels. What I'm curious to know is what does the data look like once they are five, once they are six? Like, is it that, you know, you get up and over if you're a stride bike and over and up if you're training wheels? Like, but by the time they're six, it's all a moot point. Because that's where I don't want people to get stuck on I'm doing it wrong or right. Now I'm choosing the slow option. What I want you to do is have fun with your kid on a bike.
So exactly. That they
see this as an option, especially because then once they're older, bikes can be a huge part of our autonomy. Like you can go a lot further. You can trust them to do safe things as long as you're teaching them safety from the beginning. So that is my hang up with the conversation around stride bikes. So
yeah, and I don't disagree with any of that. All bikes are good bikes as long as they're safe, but yes. I do find that kids most of the time have more fun and are able to have more fun quicker without training wheels. So
yeah. So how much have you worked with kids to actually teach them to ride?
Quite a bit through my time at the bike shop, both the one that I'm at now and the one previously. In both shops, we did not use training wheels.
Do you know the other viral thing I've seen on how to teach your kid to ride is you get a sheet or like a long towel and you like put it around their middle and then you can hold on to them without having to like hunch over the whole time because you are an old parent like me and you're already almost 40 and you have to like throw your back out in order to lean down for your two-year-old. But so you like hold them. And like you can then also give them a bit more slack or hold them up a little bit more based on how they're learning.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. It seems like it's been great.
Yeah. The other experience I've had with teaching kids how to ride bikes was with this group called Adventure for All, which I think we had them on the podcast many years ago. But they work with kids with developmental delays and disabilities. So lots of kids with Down syndrome or autism or other neurological delays. And so they do summer camps. And so I got to help out with one in Arkansas. And that was really cool because most of those kids, they were mostly teenagers, actually, and just hadn't ever been given the opportunity to learn how to ride a bike. And, you know, obviously with, you know, Down syndrome, there's like muscle tone issues. But most of these kids by the end of the week were riding independently, which was really, really cool and really, really fun. And for them, we taught them, you know, we didn't use training wheels. We kind of used balance bike type, but it was immediately teaching them how to pedal, where to look, gaining that confidence in their bodies and in the bicycle.
I was going to go somewhere else with this.
Today's episode of the All Bodies on Bikes podcast is brought to you by BikeTiresDirect.com with a huge selection of inventory from tires to clothing, hydration, nutrition, basically anything you need for cycling. BikeTiresDirect.com is your go-to. Use the code ALLBODS, that's ALLBODS, all capital letters, for a 10% discount And 6% of that comes back to All Bodies on Bikes. So you're getting a discount and the organization is getting supported. Thank you so much to Bike Tires Direct for your support. Hey, Ellen, quick pause on the thing we're actually talking about to talk about something that's really, really important. Did you know that All Bodies on Bikes podcast is actually part of the All Bodies on Bikes nonprofit?
Are you saying that everything we do is about making the cycling world more inclusive and more welcoming for everybody?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And one of the best ways to support that work is by becoming a member. We have individual memberships. We've got bike shop memberships. We've got industry memberships. We've got it all.
Any membership helps fund inclusive events, education, and advocacy, and it keeps this podcast going. Plus, members get some pretty great perks like exclusive swag, industry discounts, and more.
So if this community means something to you, which we really hope it does, we would love to have you join us as members.
You can learn more and you can join us at allbodiesonbikes.com. And now back to the episode. What were we even saying? Size of bike is important for your kid as much as it is for you. So a lot
Tell me more about that.
A lot of times what parents, there are kind of two ways that this goes. Parents will have your kid on too small of a bike because you want them to be able to stop with their feet if they're not picking up on braking. So I get that hesitation, but it's not actually helping them because now they can't pedal effectively, which is discouraging. And they are learning to brake with their feet instead of with their hands or pedal backwards if they have coaster brakes. So you're not doing them actually a service if they're too small a bike. And then what happens next will be that parents think, I don't want to buy a bike. Every time my kid grows 3 inches, I'm going to skip a size and go up too big. Now your kid is too stretched out. And that feels really uncomfortable, especially if they went from super crunched on the too small to now they're too spread out. And I've seen that discourage kids then. Kids who had been flying around on their Stride bikes, if you put them on a bike now that's too big, they feel really uncomfortable and they don't want to do it anymore. And now they can't balance correctly because you're like in the wrong position. You're going to accidentally discourage them from riding and having a good time.
That makes sense. So what's a parent to do? Where do you recommend finding kids' bikes? Any recommendations for that?
You can find them at thrift stores. Be very careful. You will want to probably have that checked out by a bike shop just to be sure that like the chain's in good shape, that all the brakes are still working. The other thing that I've seen starting to happen, I know that Guardian does this. I don't know if other brands do this yet, which Guardian is a brand that they started with kids' bikes and now they're branching into adults' bikes. They will say, if your kid outgrows this, donate it to a charity and we'll give you your money back. Then the hope then for them is you then buy another Guardian bike with the money. But going forward, you're at least not out that much money. The other thing is hand-me-downs from friends. Like, can you like start talking around in your neighborhood to be like, hey, your kid is 2 years older than mine. Like, can we start this hand-me-down system? This is like one of the biggest things I'm trying to solve for with family cycling, actually. Like, I would love for it to be that there's just a rental system. Like, pay $50 a year to get the right size bike. And then eventually you like buy the one once they're kind of leveled out with their growing or if they just get more into it. But because it's the same with kids' clothes too. It's like, God, I don't want to buy all these things. The other thing is like, I'm not completely opposed to the cheapo ones from the big box stores either. Again, I want your kid to ride the bike that they'll ride. And if that's what's standing in your way, go for it. If your kid is truly getting into like racing, then it's the same as if you would talk about like, now you're into competitive soccer leagues, like you're going to be spending money one way or the other. So
exactly. For kids' bikes, things to watch out for is the weight of the bike. Some of the more kid specific models are going to be lighter and easier for the kid to control. Mm-hmm. The big box store bikes are going to work fine as long as they're put together safely. Huge caveat on that. Yep. But they are going to be heavier. But I mean, when I was a kid, I rode a Toys R Us bike for a long time. I got a great photo of it and I love it. Kids will ride anything. The big thing is make sure it's safe. Make sure those brakes work. Teach your kids how to air up the tires. It is definitely a skill that kids can learn. I'd say from like 8 or 9 years on, and teach them like how much air to actually put in the tires, what it's supposed to look like. And that's a really good skill for self-sufficiency.
That is a good point. I think I would probably not have even thought of that for my own kid. He's only 5, but they get autonomous pretty quickly. And that would be a good way to make sure that they're, and I mean, like, kind of basics, fix a flat.
I mean,
if you are going to let them out on their own.
Teach your kids the ABC quick check, you know, even if they're too young to know how to operate the pump or strong enough, teach them to check the air in their tires, check their brakes before every ride, you know, pull the brake levers, do the brakes work, teach them to look at their chain, you know, is there any banana peels or toys or clothes or is anything in there? You know, is the kickstand up? Just teach your kid about their bike, that it's a tool and that it needs to be taken care of. You know, don't let them leave it out in the rain. If you live in a place where theft is an issue, you know, get them a lock that they know how to operate. They've got locks with codes that kids can remember. And yeah, I think bikes are such a great way to start teaching responsibility.
I was surprised at how easy my kid could remember a code. It's kind of, let your kid surprise you. This is it's just a really good way to relinquish some of that control, which is a big part of parenting, is learning how to let them fly on their own and not do it all for them. It can be a really good baby step way of introducing that into your kid's life.
Yeah. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about going back to smaller children, riding with your kids on your bike with you. So I've seen like three primary setups. I'm gonna hold cargo bikes off to the end because that's a whole different thing. But so the two primary setups I've seen is like the traditional kid seat mounted on a rack on the back of your bike, or the kids ride shotgun where there's like a little seat in between you and the handlebars and the kids ride right there. Ellen, do you have experience with either of those?
I do. I have all of these. I actually had a Thule seat that connected to the steer tube, but that actually had like a 5-point harness in it. And he was less than a year old when we started that one. So it's kind of like the youngest you could possibly be. I think the advice is that they need to be able to sit up on their own. They don't have to be walking yet, but if they can sit and support themselves, and then it's fine for them to be in a bike so long as you're using safe stuff. So that was a front mount. And then I have seen what's called, the brand is shotgun seat. It actually connects the down tube and it is only a seat. Sometimes they do have their own little handlebars, but for the most part, they just hold on to yours. And then they have little foot pads. And both of those versions, kids fucking love them because they are right up front. They get to see everything. And that was my favorite setup as a parent because they are just right there and you just talk to them. There's starting to be, at least on my Instagram feed, some viral videos of people who've mic'd their kids up in those front seats and just their little conversations and the way they're seeing the world and thinking about what's flying by. And then the other thing I loved about that is, especially in like less bike friendly places, people are not expecting a smiley baby on a bike right there. And so you get to see everybody's face light up when they're like, oh my God, there's a baby on a bike and it's got a tiny helmet and it's so cute. So that was the fun part for me.
Yeah.
And then yes, the back bike rack, tons of rack options there. And it is just as fun. And I think, you know, like we kind of just, as my kid grew, kept going with which seat he was in. It was harder for us to chat with him once he was.
Yeah, because he's behind you.
Because he's behind me. Doesn't mean he didn't try, but it makes it a lot harder to talk back, which is, I guess, kind of ironic now that I'm thinking about it, because he couldn't really talk when he was one. But any of those, like whatever fits your bike, I think you do need to be careful about what type of attachment you look for, because not everybody's bike has a back rack. There are other seats that you can get that like attach to your seat post.
Yeah. So yeah, my recommendation there is go to your bike shop and let them help guide you in what's safe and what'll work and what won't work.
Yeah. Lots of good brands out there though. Like,
yes,
that's definitely a situation where just take what you can get. And a lot of times you'll get hand-me-downs of those too. Yep. Cause like, it's like that front seat we only used for months. Like, I don't think we hit a year with that, cause I have a kid who grows exponentially in the first 4 years.
So yeah, let's talk cargo bikes now. As your kids get older, or actually I have friends that would carry their infants around in a actual car seat mounted to their cargo bike. But cargo bikes open up tons of room, both literally and cargo bikes have lots of room. And so, you know, there's like the long tail cargo bikes where it's literally what it sounds like. The frame is longer in the back and you can have kind of a bench seat and then the kids can ride behind you. And you can put rails, like a hoopty rail to keep them in there. You can put yep seats. You can with the 5-point harnesses. They've also got the front loading cargo bikes where, you've got the basket and you can just put your kids in there. In the baskets, you can do a 5-point harness. You can do all sorts of stuff. You can do rain covers. The sky is the limit, truly, for how to ride with your family on a cargo bike.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of cyclists who installed, what are they called? Not the hook, but the part that you would attach.
Straps?
No, like the actual... Anyway, they made it a way, like they bolted on hoops so that you could attach the car seat properly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like just attachment points.
Yeah, attachment points.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have a couple, I do have a friend who installed attachment points under the front of her front bucket cargo bike so that the car seat was properly like attached in there and not just sat down in.
Yeah, I did too, especially this friend was a totally car-free family in Seattle and their like pediatrician required it of like, okay, if you're going to be riding around, like you... Basically, this car seat needs to be as secure as it would be in a car.
Yes. There was a legislator somewhere who just rode home from the hospital with her baby in the front.
I think it was Minnesota.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Minnesota.
Yeah.
But it was the same situation. Like she made sure that everything was safe going in, but you can totally do it.
Yeah.
Just, man, I will say from a parent perspective, I have not once had to argue with my kid about getting on the bike, whereas getting my child who suddenly is very strong into the car seat, if he doesn't want to go, he's not going to go. Like that's an awkward situation, but like he's up for a bike ride all the time.
Which, yeah.
Again, brainwashed.
Okay. But, so do you have, for parents who might be new to this, who are thinking, okay, I could ride my bike places with my kid. That might be easier than, you know, getting the minivan out or gas is $5 a gallon. We want to transition to riding our bike more. What are some tips that you have for parents getting into this or families getting into the family bike world?
That's a good question. I think the mindset shift is that it is not harder than getting into your car. Like think about what is really close to you that you could be doing on a bike instead of in your car and start there. How close is the library? How close is your school or a grocery store? There are small changes you can make to your bike that open that up pretty quickly. So yes, you need a safe seat for your kid to be in, but then like a couple of panniers, like just to make sure, you know, if you do a library run, your kid can probably hold one book, but maybe not five books and they want to bring home 10. So make sure you have a way to get everything, whatever it is, back and forth from where you're going. I think a lot of people first think to safety in these situations. Kansas City is a grid system, so I have the ability to just choose a parallel street pretty much anywhere I need to go. The broader conversation here is a lot of cities aren't set up for safe cycling in the first place, let alone to do it with a kid. So if you are feeling that way, start thinking parallelly about the routes that you're taking. You kind of have to just get out there and explore a little bit. Google really wants you to ride your bike and walk and drive on the same gigantic streets because that's the most efficient. If you're choosing a bike, you're not choosing time efficiency. So what are these little tweaks that you can choose that make it safer, make you more comfortable, and make it to where you will do it?
That makes total sense. Any advice for like inclement weather? How do you deal with rain or cold? Like are you bundling your kid up like they're the kid in the Christmas story or?
A little bit. a wind and rain layer goes really far. So what we've found is that my kid wants, like, if he doesn't have gloves on, he's not right. Like, he will complain. So gloves and, like, around your face is what will kind of help you feel warm, which is similar for if you're riding as an adult. And then a windbreak layer, because they don't have the benefit of, like, moving their body the way that you do to keep warm. So if I've got him in the trailer, like, we'll just chuck blankets back there. And if it's in the trailer, that is the built-in windbreak layer. And then I have some friends who have an Urban Arrow, which is a front bucket, and it comes with like a whole rain system, but they use it most for the cold because it blocks the wind. It blocks the kids from getting too cold. Those are kind of the first two things I would focus on. If I'm being real honest, we just hit a point at the year where it's like, well, the bike's in the garage for the next couple months. But even then, I mean, climate change is making it to where those are getting shorter and shorter. So
yeah,
or you'll have a That's nice day and you get to just hop out. It's nice.
Awesome. Well, I guess one other question is, like, how far can kids go on bikes?
That is a good question. And they go, again, this is where they will surprise you. The Kansas City family bike ride that I run goes 3 miles in one direction, and kids have no problem with that one. It's a relatively flat route. But actually, the other thing that is surprising me about my kid now is he can climb hills without thinking about it nearly as much as I do, because he's in a quarter of the size of the body. So he doesn't have to haul 200 pounds up a hill. He's only hauling like 50 pounds. So he makes it pretty far. His bike at this point does have, I think, 7 gears. So he's learning how to, like, put it in a smaller gear or a shorter gear. What's the right? A lower gear.
An easier gear
to get up those hills. But even if he doesn't, he's able to power up pretty good. I actually think if you start riding as a family with your kid on their own bike, what you're going to want to be more careful of is not going so far that then they're tired before it's over. So like, the way that a kid's brain works is, I like this, I want to keep doing it. And the way your adult brain needs to work is, let's save some energy for the ride back, or save energy for getting from the trailhead to the car, whatever it kind of that last mile is in that situation is what you will need to be doing as a parent. But then as they get better at it, their endurance is going to grow the same way that it would for you as a workout.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I would encourage folks, you know, if your interest is piqued and you're hearing this, there's so many good resources on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram of families doing this. And so, you know, lots of families will, the parent will be on a cargo bike, the kiddo will be on their own bike. And then at some point during the day, the kid gets tired, wants a break. You figure out a way to carry the kid and the bike on the adult bike, which just opens up even more possibilities.
That's a good point. We have figured out, like, when we were first starting out and wanting to do longer rides, we had a way to put the bike in the trailer that was hauled behind a cargo bike that my kid would ride in. So it's like the trailer became the trunk.
Yeah.
And we could just chuck lots of things in there. A lot of snacks, always have water. This is where, like, my adult brain hasn't quite actually gotten adulty enough for those steps. That's where having a partner who is a little bit checklist oriented is a good thing in my life. Once your kid is riding their own bike, start checking around, because there are a lot of organizations and cities that will offer some really basic safety classes for kids. So, like, rules of the road, how to handle this. Like, if you are going to start riding on street, start hammering those rules in sooner than later. And this is, again, where what I'm learning about kids is, like, the more you just do it, like, this is just the way it's done. Nope, this is just the way it's done. It's less of a conversation. And then in my personal experience, if someone else is teaching my kid, he is more likely to follow the rules. So sometimes it's good to outsource that information so that you have, like, that, no, remember, coach so-and-so said, you look both ways, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So, and we're coming up to summer, and there's tons of kids bike summer camps where they can learn all of this stuff. Like, they can even, like, come in not riding a bike and leave fully independently pedaling. Yeah. So I would encourage folks to look into that too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Love that. But yeah, one of the reasons I started Kansas City Family Bike Ride was because I heard over and over again, mainly from moms, but from families in general, that it was like, oh, I was so into cycling and then I had a kid and I stopped. And you don't have to stop when you have a family, but you do have to figure out what works for your new setup. And there are tons and tons of ways to do it.
Agreed. Well, I hope this has inspired some folks to hopefully get out there on their bikes with their families, whatever your family looks like. Let us know what questions you have. Leave it in the comments, like, subscribe, share this podcast with your friends, and get out there and ride your bike.
Yay.